Good afternoon. This is Brian Papstein. Welcome to KINS's presentation of Meet the Candidates, our special series designed to help you get to know the views and opinions of the candidates for office. In this segment, we'll be hearing from Karen Brooks, our first segment of the series. We'll be hearing from Karen Brooks, candidate for Humboldt County 3rd District Supervisor. Each segment of Meet the Candidates is 16 minutes long. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Would you like to make an opening statement?
Brian, thanks for the opportunity. My name is Karen Brooks, a local business advisor and now candidate for 3rd District Supervisor. The district encompasses the area between the mouth of the Mad River to the North Bay, including Manila, Arcata, Blue Lake, up to Neyland, and extending all the way south to Redwood Acres. Please click to my website, which is brooksforsupervisor.com, to learn more about my background. I'm running because turning around our economy requires a person with a proven track record of working with job creators, developing and implementing innovative solutions, and experience building relationships. My 30-year private sector career has focused on helping businesses grow, mentoring employees, and bringing people together to solve common problems. We need short-term and long-term solutions to bring our future back to our kids. I'm the best equipped person to foster that proactive, open-for-business culture that we need to create jobs, reduce unemployment, and grow our economy. This, in turn, will increase our tax base to pay for the needed services instead of watching our schools close and our roads crumble. We're innovative enough to have it all: clean water, clean air, and a thriving economy. The key is bringing people together to make opportunity happen. As I talk to people across the district, I hear the great ideas, like making government more accessible and nimble, as well as accountable. As your supervisor, I'll continue to listen and act in ways that improve your life, protect your property and privacy rights, as well as cooperating to build multi-use trails. My economic development plan, called Vision for Humboldt, is posted on my website. I'd be honored to have your vote.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All righty. First area of discussion. The drug culture in Humboldt County has influenced and changed Humboldt County's culture at all levels. What comments do you have regarding this part of the economic as well as the social fabric of our area?
It's a complicated issue, Brian, as we all know. When we voted for the Compassionate Care Act, we just didn't know the unintended consequences that we're seeing today. No question, our economy would be far worse had this underground economy and industry not existed. But from the information we've learned lately, so much of this income is being removed from our area. When you consider the societal effects, I'm not sure we as a community are better off. As I talk to people who are 25 years and older, people have been very tolerant with a live and let live philosophy, but now it's negatively impacting them. People complain that their quality of life has been diminished considerably, especially if they live next to or near a grow house. They fear reprisal if they complain to law enforcement. They fear a home invasion. They worry about what their property value is dropping. They wonder if a grow house is going to catch their house on fire. And frankly, they don't like the smell. So we look at it as an industry. It's been keeping rental rates artificially high, which hurts the working poor in our community. The industry uses a tremendous amount of energy, which is counter to our green and sustainable culture. And the industry doesn't contribute to our tax base in a meaningful way, nor do they support our schools financially. And I'm disgusted over the environmental destruction and the cumulative impacts on our watershed. And what bothers me the most as a mom is that too many of our young people are not pursuing legitimate employment and building a career. Now, my opponent campaigned on a platform of reining in and controlling the medical marijuana industry. But the size of the bus over the last few months, many in the 3rd District show that his efforts have failed, and now the feds are clamping down. It's a mess. It needs to be fixed.
It's obviously it's a tough thing to deal with. Can you separate between marijuana and meth, heroin, prescription drugs, the other elements of the drug culture that also have been permitted, accepted in our area?
Well, what we're seeing and in talking with law enforcement is it's not just the growing of the medical marijuana. There's usually other drugs associated with that, like meth or hash and some other drugs. And so it's not just this lazy, easygoing medical marijuana culture that we're fostering. It's really a kind of a drug culture, which I think is quicksand. I think it doesn't lead, when you talk about your tax base dwindling and money leaving our area and what it's doing to the future for our kids, have we, in fact, I know we've gone over the tipping point, but how do we get normalcy back into the equation?
Do you think legalization or decriminalization does that?
Well, you know, more and more people that I talk to, they would like it to be legalized just to make it go away. But with the Obama administration clearly clamping down on that right now, they're not going to allow for legalization. And I don't know if the 10th Amendment is something that we want to throw ourselves on that sword for medical marijuana. So even Mike Thompson says the likelihood of it becoming legalized is next to none.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen the presentation that Jennifer Budwig has done about that. The fact that it represents such a large percentage of the total economy in Humboldt County, if it was clamped down on or legalized, either way, so that Humboldt County wouldn't be driving the same amount of benefits that it is today, what does that do to the economy?
It just shows that our economy is not growing. And if you look at our economy from 2006 to now, we've really lost a lot of industry, certainly in the timber and fishing industry. So we need to look at the opportunities that exist and create a proactive culture for growing, expanding, and attracting businesses to our area to compensate for that. I just think it's indicative that there's just no jobs. I mean, it's an economy that we have, like it or not, and it's keeping money going through some homes. But I don't think it's the economy that we want for the future.
Well, it sounds like a perfect opportunity to move into the second area then of our discussion this afternoon. What measures would you favor to support economic development in Humboldt County?
This answer is not so long-winded, Brian. Surprisingly or not. My answer is all of the above. We need to first change our culture from a no you can't to open for business. I'm all about all different ideas and supporting small businesses and manufacturing and our natural resource-based industries. I'm working on 3 strategic action ideas. One is revitalizing the harbor, master permitting commercial and industrial sites, and the third is business advocacy. These are all interrelated. That's how you get a business from your garage to an industrial commercial site. I'm also open to attracting new business to the area that's a good fit. You know, when I worked at Bayshore Mall, when we first opened in 1987, the management team, which I was part of, actively worked to bring new businesses to the area. We went all over Northern California and Southern Oregon, and we found what would work for us in the community. So I think before you can attract any businesses at this point, we need to really partner with the businesses that we have and grow and enhance them. Then an outside business would say, hey, you guys are looking like you're a pretty fertile environment to do business. Let's look at that.
When you say a master permit,
yeah,
a little bit more detail. What are you talking about?
Well, what we're doing right now is we're going through all the commercial industrial sites, and many of these are old mill sites. And so we're assessing what infrastructure is needed, what cleanup is needed, and using the government agencies working together to look at a master permitting. So this area is done, so you just pay a simple fee if you want to bring your business to this commercial site. Rather than going through the months and months and hundreds of thousands of dollars, that's done for you, and you just pay for that access.
As long as you're within whatever the zoning regulations
are. Right, absolutely. That's correct.
Business advocacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different skins on this onion. Are you thinking of legislative? Are you thinking of streamlining at the permit process at the county? Or the review process when those licenses come up or the permits come up for renewal? Are you thinking of assisting in the marketing, attracting kind of like a business mix rather than a product mix for the county? How involved do you want to be? How involved do you see the county getting into the private sector?
As a independent, I don't like government breathing down my neck person. You know, I want government to come and help me and not be an obstacle. So I don't want them outside my front door. What I want the government to be doing is when I have I'm a business owner, I sit down with my supervisor and I said, you know, we're looking at our long-term strategy for the next 5 years, and here's some of the things that we want to do, and I just want to talk to you about these things to find out what's possible in our community, because it's going to have to go through planning and whatnot. And so my supervisor would say, those are really great ideas, and let me assist you with some of these agencies that you may be having hurdles with and see if we can have open dialogue and communication. And maybe we bring in Fish and Game. Maybe we bring in the planning department. Maybe we bring in the Coastal Commission. Maybe we bring in all these entities and have a sit-down, a one-sit-down, and say, what is possible, and can we work together to make that happen?
So you're thinking of that as a supervisor to do that, or as the county to coordinate whoever the staff person might be assigned to that?
Well, I think the supervisor can facilitate that, but it really comes down to that's the job of the staff. Now, we can bring in legislative stuff through our assembly, our senate, and our congressmen on things that are universal for a region to help on legislation. For instance, here's a really good one. We're doing a Redwood Deck initiative right now, and so as the market grows and expands, it's going to put pressure on our large timber operators. Well, our small operators, when the prices are good, and our small landowners want to sell their timber. Right now, it's just too difficult. Legislatively, we can make that easier for them, so everyone is bringing their timber to market. It's not just on the large timber operators.
You're listening to KINS's Meet the Candidates series. In this segment, we're hearing from Karen Brooks, candidate for Humboldt County's 3rd District. Karen, we'll move on to the last one now. Everybody loves this one the best. If I had a handful of pixie dust and you could use it to address any one single issue in Humboldt County, what would that one single issue be, and what would be the solution?
Gosh, one issue, that's so unfair. Well, because I think that we have such a confluence of regulatory agencies on the North Coast, I would say that our biggest barrier to prosperity is the cost and the time associated with applying for and receiving permits to do anything. It never used to be that way, and it seems it's getting worse and, you know, more and more every day. I remember years ago when they talked about taking the logs out of the streams, and that was what everybody had to do, and now they're saying put the logs back in the streams. So we don't really know what the practical results are for many of these regulations. So if I had pixie dust, I would require that one lead agency per jurisdiction would supersede and coordinate with all the other agencies to streamline the permitting process. I know that seems impossible, but now I have pixie dust, right? Okay. One that usually would only take weeks instead of months or years. For instance, along the waterfront, if you want to repair or improve your dock, you've got to go through 5 regulatory agencies that require you to jump through their hoops, and they don't really care about the other hoops they have to jump through. You've got the Corps of Engineers, the Coastal Commission, the city, the harbor, and Fish and Game. Depending on what you want to do, there's probably several more. So this is just crazy, and it's self-defeating for anyone who wants to do right by the environment. We're penalizing the good guys for doing the right things. So who wants to risk their income if they don't have a clear outcome? So my final thought is, if you have one lead agency, and they can determine who that agency is, but by doing this, it allows the businesses to reasonably navigate a process towards a determined outcome. And that's my pixie dust solution.
Okay, so now we pull away the fact that pixie dust doesn't exist. Is this something that still is possibly attainable?
Absolutely, Brian.
Without having huge amounts of staff?
Absolutely, Brian.
How?
It's called the process of invoking coordination.
You think we can get state and federal?
Do you know what? If you have any state and federal law, it requires coordination. They don't ever tell you have that option. But that's how you unlock our local economy.
How quickly could something like that be put together? Any idea?
Well, first the Board of Supervisors has to approve using the coordination process. And then you just dictate or delegate that to your departments. Now, it's a process that is community-based and involves people, so you need to bring all voices to the table to make this happen.
So similar to what we've seen like with Headwaters, I mean, you referenced Headwaters before, where there's community representation as well as some of the electeds and get everybody on board?
Yeah, I think the best example that we have of this is the MLPA process. When the state government said do a red and a ruby, and or a sapphire and a ruby, and we said, no, we want an emerald. We want one unified proposal. And that's the key. We've done it with MLPA. We can do it at other things, and that's what I hope to bring to the county level. Very excited about it.
Do you think the MLPA was successful?
Well, I wanted, you know, I thought it was a zero thing, but because it had to move forward and people were willing to work in on it, we came up with something that was consistent with our community. Yes, I thought it was successful.
Marine Life Protection Act?
Right.
Okay. There you go. We know what
we're talking about. Oh, I'm sorry. MLPA, yeah.
Maybe not everybody is driving around without their notebooks.
Very good point. Okay. No wonder you're the boss.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah. I can remember four letters. Thanks. As you look at the state of how the county interacts with the cities, how the county interacts with the state and the feds, you'd mentioned the DOJ a little bit earlier, kind of almost in passing with the drug culture. Is there a willingness? Do you sense that there's a willingness for everybody to talk together, or are we still in the same boat of turf?
For the survival of our local area, we must insist that our state and federal government work with us for all inconsistencies at the local level. We must do that. That's not a choice if. We must.
And your lever bar?
Lever bar? I think the political will is shifting. I think people in this community are looking for different ways of accomplishing our prosperity. And people are coming together and they're talking, as it should be.
And hopefully somebody's listening. Thanks for coming by, Karen.
Thanks, Brian.
We've been talking with Karen Brooks in our Meet the Candidate series.